to sing those carols together and think about those glorious words and the message of the gospel. What a joy to be a believer, to have a living faith, and to be here gathered together singing to the Lord like this. A wonderful time. I welcome each one, any visitors with us. So good to have you with us. Welcome. May God bless you so much. Next Saturday, it's Christmas Day. That seemed to sneak up on us, didn't it? And we will be having a live stream next Christmas Day at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to join that, just tune in through the website. And 10 o'clock, we'll share a few thoughts together. Also, Boxing Day, 1 week from today. Out of interest, if we had a regular Boxing Day service, I know many are traveling and that's fine, but if you think you would come to a Boxing Day service, just raise your hand for a moment. Okay, so what we'll do is next week, Boxing Day, we will have a gathering together. It will be very different because we won't have the music and the sound and everything, but we will meet in that room for those who would like to at 10:30 in our cafeteria. And if you want to bring a little portion, offering of food or whatever, you're welcome to do that. So we'll be here, just a few of us, and we'll celebrate together next Sunday at 10:30. Okay. All right, let's pray as we open this word together. Father, thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your presence. We thank you for the amazing truths and realities captured in these carols, in these readings. Oh, that you so loved the world, you gave your Son, that whoever would believe would have eternal life. Lord, we ask you to bless these words now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless those watching on the live stream with us this morning as well. Good to have you with us. The Old Testament paved the way for the coming of Christ with prophecy. Prophecies that there would be a son, a Messiah, a king who would come, bringing salvation and redemption. I'd like to look at some of those prophecies, if you will, Christmas prophecies, for a few moments together. The first one you could find is in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. We remember when the angel visited Mary, Gabriel came to her in Galilee and said, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call him Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. These are amazing titles that the angel told Mary about. Look at this prophecy also goes on with these titles that really could only be rightfully attributed to God. And yet they are attributed to the Son, the one who was promised to come. It said he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We read the scripture at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, John 1:1. And the Word what? Was God. The Word was God. And then in verse 14, it tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the marvel and the wonder of the gospel. It should capture the heart of every believer. That as we consider the manger, the incarnation, the birth of Christ, that perhaps many, many people, even believers and even churches, are sleeping through these amazing truths that should capture our hearts and give us a burning thankfulness and praise in our hearts to God. For this is the gospel, that he really came here, and he came here to redeem lost men and women. Also in the following verse, 9:7 of Isaiah, it says, the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom. And notice that it says that it will go on forever. This is speaking of the eternal kingdom that the Messiah would reign. And that's why he was called the Son of David. These truths are alluded to when Gabriel came to Mary and to Zacharias, etc. And we see them here written in Isaiah 700 years beforehand. One of the great strengths for me and perhaps you as a believer also is that we can look at the prophecies in the Old Testament. We can look at the fulfillment in the New Testament. We can realize that this book is from God and these are His words. So there's the first prophecy, that a child would be born. We also know at his second coming, for he will return, that the government will be on his shoulders when he reigns on the earth. You'll notice also in the visitation of the angel that the angel said to Mary that she would have a child, and yet she was a virgin. This prophecy is found also in the book of Isaiah in 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Actually, when the angel came to Joseph, we read the scripture in Matthew 1, he said exactly that. He said, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And Matthew makes note in verse 22 of chapter 1, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and he quotes this passage, behold, the virgin shall be with child. I don't know what you think of that, but it's astounding, isn't it? Now, in Matthew's gospel, we know that his audience primarily is to the Jews. He wanted to make a point that was important to them of referencing the Old Testament, showing the scriptures fulfilled. As we go into Matthew 2, there are four prophecies alone in Matthew 2 relating to four different geographical places surrounding the birth of Christ. They are Bethlehem, Egypt, Ramah, and Nazareth. Four prophecies in one chapter surrounding the birth of Christ. Amazing. The first of which is in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, also 700 years beforehand. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of villages in Judah, out of you will come forth to me, the one to be the ruler in Israel. Notice this phrase, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. That last phrase, the scribes neglected to include that when they told Herod this reference. But that's important, that the one who would come would be a ruler, the Messiah, the King. He would come from Bethlehem, but also it says his goings are from everlasting. Amazing. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. How could it be that if they come from Nazareth in Galilee, that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem? And to answer that in Luke's gospel gives us the answer. It tells us about Caesar Augustus and the tax plea that went forth. Oh, we marvel at the providential hand of God that he would bring this couple, that Mary, pregnant with child, he would bring them to Bethlehem at that particular hour, on that particular day, at that particular time, and in that particular place for the fulfillment of prophecy. So Joseph went up from Galilee out of Nazareth to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary. No accident, but God's divine providential plan. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. The time passes, and of course, the baby becomes a child, and the magi from the east come, and when Herod hears of it, he asks his scribes, where shall the Messiah be born? And this is the prophecy that they're able to give him. They don't hesitate. They don't say, oh, we'll go and research it. They knew straight away, oh, that's easy. He will be born in Bethlehem, for the prophet has spoken. In fact, in John's Gospel in 7:40, during the ministry of Christ, some said of Jesus, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said, Christ from the seed of David will come out of the town of Bethlehem?" You see, it was known that the Christ, the Son of David, would be born in Bethlehem. And then, of course, Herod inquired what time the star appeared, assuming that the child was born at that time so he could calculate the age and he could kill all of the children that may be a threat to his throne. So we read in Matthew 2:17-16, "He slew all the children in Bethlehem and the borders to 2 years old, according to the time he had diligently inquired of the wise men, so that what was said through the prophet Jeremiah could be fulfilled." And this is the next prophecy relating to a place called Ramah, which is this region of we're speaking of here, where it says, a voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. This was another prophecy that was fulfilled. But how was it that Joseph and Mary, and more importantly, baby Jesus, was not slaughtered in this event? We read in verse 13 of that passage that when the wise men had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt." And this is another prophecy in this one passage from Hosea 11. "When Israel was a child, I loved him." And here it is. "And out of Egypt, I called my son." You say, how could it be that all of those places, Bethlehem and Ramah and Egypt, and there's another one, Nazareth, could all be related to Jesus? And it lays it out for us. What an amazing work of God's providence and his plan. "Out of Egypt I have called my son. For when the time was right, the angel told Joseph he could return." And we read at the end of Matthew, this is the last prophecy, "Having been warned in a dream after Herod was gone, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be a Nazarene. And there he would grow until he would come into his public ministry." Matthew chapter 3 opens with the appearance on the stage of John the Baptist, the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Messiah. How beautifully it is mapped out. How wonderfully the Old Testament scriptures and prophecies are so perfectly answered. There is not one jot, not one tittle that is not fulfilled. For Christ has fulfilled and will fulfill at his second coming all that was written of him. Oh, we marvel this morning, not just singing songs, not just attending a service, but in our hearts, recognizing the glorious gospel, recognizing the good news that there is a living, loving God who sent his Son, that whoever would believe would have eternal life. And you and I as believers in our hearts can say with assurance that we have that life in Christ. For he who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son does not have life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the gospel, the simple but glorious gospel of your love for men, for women, for fallen people, and your answer in sending your Son, and the beauty and simplicity of the gospel, that whoever would believe, and if you're here this morning or you're listening online, here is an opportunity, a moment of faith laid before you to put your faith in him, to put your faith in Jesus, the Messiah, the King, the Promised One, the Savior. For the angel said to the shepherds, "Unto you a Savior is born this day." And here this morning, to each one listening, we say, "Unto you a Savior is born." And a Savior, what does a Savior do? But he saves. There is no other Savior. There is no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. And it is not by your good works or being a good person or being religious, but it is through faith in Christ. To say in your heart, oh Jesus, I put my faith in you this moment, this hour. I ask you for the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life that comes and is only found in you. Thank you for saving me today, in Jesus' name. And each one of us, we praise you and thank you for your love for us, for the glorious gospel and what this season means. We thank you that by your word and by your spirit, we sing and we praise with understanding to the glory of God. Amen.
Isn't the word of God incredible? Thank you, Graham. We're going to sing again now. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's stand and sing.